Thank you, worship team. We're at Deep Restoration today. I'm going to start off the message with a story. And a story of my own life. I've told y'all, many of y'all, kind of an open book. What you see is what you get. My mom and dad loved me very, very much. I baptized in that and have lived in that my entire life. We had a long run of things just being no real big changes. All the parents were alive. Since 2011, it hadn't been that way. Mom's diagnosed cancer. She died in 14. Audrey's mom, cancer. Daddy, amputation. All that. Both of them, Granny Ann and Granddad, they died in 16, one February, one in June. So, Audrey's brother back in 2010, you know, he died when we were down in Haiti, on that mission project. Dad was the last one that I thought would be the surviving one. I thought my mother would outlive everybody. And I thought she would be like her mother and make it to end her 90s. But she didn't. She was the first. She died at 78. I still don't understand that. And I'm not going to stand before you and tell you that I'm always pleased with the things that happen and that I don't go out and sit in my chair complaint and bellyache to God about things. I don't like it. I still don't like it. I mean, every couple of days I still pick up the phone to call my mother. Yeah, that's right. I do that. And say, well, that's morbid. No, it's not. Just relationship. You can't turn that off like a spigot. When Mom tried to tell me and my brother that everything, she said, you don't know really all of what's going on with your dad. Well, that was an understatement of the year. I wasn't sure when Mom died that Dad, and she died in March, and for the first 6 months, and y'all remember some of y'all that saw him. I mean, he was a mess, and he was headed down. He was headed out the door. He was on the way to death himself. But he came around, and God did this work in his life. Well, my brother and I, Dad lived by himself, which is something he had never done. He's always had my mother, he went from my grandmother taking care of him to my mother taking care of him. There's a lot of you men that have been that same way, right? I know it to be true, and I know it to be true in his life. And this guy who was the epitome and is the epitome of a man's man, tough guy. I mean, this guy, he's the one that used to change the light bulbs on the Talmadge Bridge underneath and on top of the iron. He'd walk the steel out there, and he worked without a net. We went out there one day when I was about 6 years old. It was Friday night. We were going to the drive-in movie. I'll tell you how long ago that was. And we'd stopped by Kelly's Hamburgers and picked up a bag of hamburgers. But he said, oh, I've got to go change a light bulb. And back then they had the turnstile there and the pay toll at the old Talmadge Bridge. And we went through that. And he stops at the very top of the bridge where the metal was. Some of you remember that. He pulls the car over to the side. He jumps out and jumps over the railing. Well, of course, the people passing by thought someone just committed suicide, there was a little metal landing down there, and he climbed up under there and changed the light bulb. He'd changed the ones that were on the poles too. And we came back, coming back to the turnstile, and we met the police coming up to. But that's the kind of man. I mean, just. This fearless guy. But he needed my mother. They were one. He needed her so desperately. Dad has one leg is shorter than the other. I got in trouble in school growing up when they asked. We had to tell how tall our dad was. And the teacher asked me in school, and I said, well, it's according to which leg he's standing on. I wasn't smarting off. Really, that time I wasn't. But I got in trouble and called my mother, and my mother said, well, it's true. One of his legs is short now. We never talked about it. I really never thought about my dad limping because he did everything. It just wasn't on our mind. We didn't talk about it. I never heard him bellyache about it, that how it limited him. I mean, my dad was a lineman for a while. He climbed poles. That's rough. That's rough business. He tried joining the army, but they refused him because of his leg. So now fast forward. Mom's dead. And me and my brother are finding out that what Mom told us was true. We didn't know what was going on. Well, dementia had begun. His loss of memory. And so he lived on his own for a little while. And then my brother and I started spending the night with him. You know, one of us would stay there every night. And Dad was wanting to do different things, and we had to take the car away from him. Then he got the old beat-up truck that he had in the yard. Somehow, he figured out how to get it cranked, and then we had to take that away from him. And, you know, that's hard. It's hard to do that stuff. Trying to protect him. And one night, we're over there, and it's late at night, and I'm sitting in the den in there with him. And he is so angry with me. He is shouting at the top of his lungs. Listen, I'm not just airing stuff. I'm telling you this stuff because I believe God's led me to tell you this. He's shouting, I mean, the veins in his neck. My dad's never spoken to me like that. He's so angry. And finally, he says this. He says, you don't know what it's like to live where I have lived. I said, Dad, what are you talking about? He said, all my life, I've lived with this leg and people, and especially men, looking at me as being less. The other part of that I didn't say to you is that I'd shouted a little bit that night too. He said, they wanted to amputate my leg. My daddy wouldn't let them. And then every job I went to, and in school, it was always what you can't do. I've lived with that all my life. And now you're telling me I can't. And I forget the list of the things that he went through. I thought I knew my dad real well. If you'd asked me 10 minutes before that happened, his injury to his leg that caused him to limp all his life, was that a thing that bothered him? I told you no. But I found out that the truth was different. Now you live with people that you think you know. It may not. They may need, like all of us need, deep restoration. Matthew 13:15 says this. For the hearts of these people are hardened. Their ears can't hear. They've closed their eyes so their eyes cannot see and their ears cannot hear and their hearts cannot understand. And they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. Did any of you view Delma Reynolds? And do you view him as less than? But there are times that's not what he thought. You see, Jesus' desire is to heal us. His desire is to make us whole. We have experienced the assault. When we were born into a world that has fallen, a world marred by sin. We entered a world that's ready to destroy us, to chew us up in the process. From the moment we were born, a battle ensued to destroy us, to destroy our soul. We see that battle going on all around us, don't we? Don't you see it in the people around you? Don't you see it in your own life? And life happens. And there are casualties when life happens. I mean, I'm sitting there in the living room that night, 10 o'clock at night, and my daddy's sharing something with me that I'd have bet the farm wasn't true. But yet, it was. Because he's sharing me the deep things in his heart. When the casualties come, then comes the dysfunction of the fallen world that just comes upon us. And this whole dysfunctional way then that we live out our lives. I had an epiphany that night. Then I understood some things about Dad's life. Understood some of the anger that he had about some things. I called my brother the next morning. I said, Vic, I just got to tell you this, what happened with Dad last night. And I said, you may already know all this, but this was new to me. He'd be angry about this over here, but really that was just a ruse. That was a protection mechanism to keep from getting at the heart of where the anger was really coming from. Do you follow me? You do the same thing. Of course you do. Of course you do. We all do it. It's how we protect ourselves at times, because we're worried about people finding out this stuff because we're afraid not that they'll help us, but they'll take cruel advantage of us in that thing. So, what's the result that comes from that? Well, Jesus said that these people, their hearts are hardened, their ears can't hear, their eyes can't see. The results are, our hearts are wounded, divided, and not whole. Those wounds, for some, we look at people on the outside and say, well, it looks all right, but we can't see through to their soul unless God lets us see that. But so often we can't. We can't see what's going on. Those wounds, that division. And so the result is we adopt behaviors, don't we? Behaviors to either mask that. I just shared one that my dad did. Well, for a lot of people, it's why alcohol and drugs comes in. For other people, it's like workaholism comes into that. For others, it's promiscuity. Trying to fill a hole. Trying to cover up something that is there, that is aching in your soul. And sometimes, and just because I'm saying this, to be able to articulate, would my dad have told me if you'd ask him and just, you can be honest about this, just tell us what's going on. No, that just slipped out. He couldn't self-diagnose. And for us to go around thinking, well, people really know what's going on with them and they ought to do this, that, no. That isn't how it works. Because you get damaged in the process of life, don't you? We agree with lies about us and about the world. Scripture says when the evil one comes, he comes and speaks. And when he speaks his native language, which is what? A lie. How many lies have we believed? Somewhere along the way, the evil one whispered in my dad's ear, you're less than. You're less than. Yes. By the way, my grandfather was the city electrical inspector when Dad became of age to work. And he was very, very concerned about not wanting to put my dad forward. The union was very strong back then, the electrical union in Savannah. So he didn't want to be seen as putting Dad forward as a young man. So
But he did help him get a job at this electric company, this one of the contractors here in town. Dad shows up the first day. And remember the lie, you're less than. He shows up to begin his apprenticeship as an electrician. Guess what job they said he was going to be doing that day? We want you to deliver parts to the jobs. Dad got angry. He said, why? He said, well, you know, got it? At that time, this company did a lot of line work. Dad said, you can put me in that job. The guy started to say, well, you can't. And he did. A lie. Believed. Now so many things become part of that. What lies have you believed about yourself? You can't do this. You're too stupid for this. Yeah, you're not smart enough for that. That's these other people. No, not. You're too short. You're too fat. You're too skinny. You're too, fill in the blank. Lies. All lies. And so we enter into agreements. Because the moment we react to that and don't call it what it is, what happens? That's an agreement that has been made there. We believed it. And our actions follow that. Follow that. That's why so many of the things are going on in our lives that we have to get back to where it began. I had an epiphany yesterday. Something that I've wondered about in my life. I've talked to some of you about a couple of these things. My middle brother, for whom Logan is named, his name's David. That's Logan's first name. Little David, we always call him. He had spina bifida. Back then, you called him a waterhead baby. He didn't make it to his second birthday, but I never remember seeing him. I remember seeing the crib. I asked my mother about it later on, and she said, yeah, you saw him multiple times. Guess what? I just blocked it out as a kid. I remember praying in our, we were talking about this last week. You know that prayer that teach kids or did years ago? Now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Okay. You can go up and down on whether or not that's a good prayer to pray and all, but I remember praying that in my room on 59th Street when I was 5, 6 years old. But all I could think of was down on the corner, down on Montgomery Street, where the first 7-Eleven was, the newsstand that stood out there, and there they had those yellow journalism, those magazines, those newspapers that had deformed children on the front page. Some of y'all remember those that are older people? I remember those. And I remember it just struck fear in me. It came to me yesterday. I see that's something from my own life. My own brother. Blocking it. You come into agreements with things. Fear, anger, separation, ruling. In Dad's case, that fear of facing that and just saying this is who I am. And the anger that comes. And then how it alienates us from people in our lives that then want to understand, because you're trying to understand something where someone is never telling you the truth. That was my first reaction with Dad that night. Dad, I'm thinking, why haven't you ever said this before? In some ways, the dementia was, in a backhanded kind of way, was just helping him, to be honest, about how he really felt. And it took about 30 minutes of yelling to get that done. And in the end, we can't get past it. it becomes Mount Everest. So what's the answer? The Lord hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't forgotten anybody. He hasn't forgotten my daddy. That's getting a pacemaker this Friday. And guess what? He's going to have more energy than he's had in a while. He's going to be heaven on wheels. Bloom. He doesn't forget us. Because as long as there's life in this body, he's got a purpose for our lives. Abraham and Sarah. Noah. He's got a purpose for our lives. Every moment of every day. Your case is not hopeless. God has hope for you. It's for you that the whole story of redemption has been acted out. That's what it, why he did all this stuff. Jesus will not only save you, but he'll heal you. A walk with Jesus, that's our discipleship, is not just discipline and doctrine. It is help and hope and healing. Now listen to that verse now as I read it to you, and maybe with new ears. For the hearts of these people are hardened. Why are they hardened? All this stuff, whatever you've tamped down in your life, their ears can't hear because they've been blocking it. Blocking it. This is protecting them. They have closed eyes. No, no, no. Because every time that happens, every time I do that, somebody's there ready to hurt me. The ears cannot hear, the eyes can't see, and the hearts can't understand. They cannot turn to me and let me heal them. So here's the deal. It's not our power that does it. It gives us the ability to turn to him. You see the word turn? You know what the word turn is? That's the basis of the word repent. In salvation, it's you turn, you repent. It means you turn from and you turn to. I mean, you can't turn to anything unless you've turned from something. So it's turning. So there's the mantra, if you will. There's the illustration, the grid on which all of his truth is going to be operative. So now we came to Jesus by faith in our salvation. We turn from the old way to him. So it is with our healing. Now, when we came to Jesus, did we come to him because we thought it was a good idea? No. We came to him because we had been wooed. We had been loved. We had been drawn by the Spirit of God that reached out and touched us right where we were. The power of the Holy Spirit that came, the very Spirit of Jesus that comes to us and touches us, and we turn to him. It's the same with our healing. It's the same with our discipleship. He's wooing us. It's not your indigestion. It's not when you say, oh, my heart was pricked today. God, what are you doing in my life? Listen, this stuff with my brother and the spinal bifida and that fear that came to me every time we'd pray that prayer, now lay me down to sleep. All I could think of was my brother David. That's all I could think of every time we did that. Now, I was a little kid. I didn't know how to verbalize that. But I want you to know, God kept wooing me. I very easily could have been an emotional wreck in my life. I look back and the perfectionism that was, I don't want to get into all of that, but that could have come, that could have driven me. But I want you to know, hear me today. When Jesus came into my life, he changed me. He did something for me, but he also did something to me. And then I learned about the Holy Spirit. then I learned that the Spirit of God, that He doesn't just save you and put you out there, throw you back out there, and we wait for Jesus to come back. Yeah, until then, it's going to be hell on earth. That's not it. What it is He desires to heal us, to make us whole, to gift us with all the gifts of the Spirit, to transform us. And He is doing that work, that sanctifying work in our lives as He is fashioning us into the image of Christ Himself. And He'll do that. He'll heal that which is within you. Yesterday, I'm 65 years old. And that God's putting something together from my childhood, and it happened yesterday. I'm telling you, don't turn Him off. The Spirit is saying, turn to Him. Turn to Him. Turn to Him. You know, put it in a language some of you guys can understand. This is before GPS. But even some of y'all know more than the GPS. I did it last week. Audrey said, well, for years she's looking at the map. She says, you need to turn up here. And I say, I don't think so. I'm going to go this way. Guess what? We got lost. Hey, but guess what? I know more than the GPS. I did it last week. It said, don't turn. In fact, I did it Friday night. We're on our way to a football game, and we can't get out of Savannah. It's saying, go this way. I said, that absolutely does not make sense to go that way. I'm going this way. This is the way I know to go. And guess what? It was a linear parking lot, 3 miles long on 17. I couldn't get around there. Audrey said in her quiet voice, I guess we should have gone the other way. What is the quiet voice of the Holy Spirit saying to you today about your life? I don't care how old you are. I don't care where you are. He wants to make you whole. He wants to heal you. Just because you loved your mom and daddy and that, if crapola came via them, you need to cut it off. It doesn't mean you love them any less. It means you say, this was wrong. This was a lie. And very often, they would just believe in what somebody told them ahead of time. Another sermon on that another day. Do you get me, sweetheart? Do you understand? Dane and I will be available to you today. I'm not going to give an altar call. That doesn't make sense. I know. I'm not going to give one today. You want to talk about some of this stuff? You see us. You seek us out. We'll talk to you. We'll pray with you. Okay? And it doesn't stop today. You know you can call us anytime. I mean, I have all those people wanting to sell me health care and warranties for my car and credit cards and all that, and they call me all times of the day and night, and I call and talk to them. By the way, time out here, sidebar. The one where you actually get the live person on there, you know how to cure them? Share the gospel with them. Woo! Yes, sir. Instead of, you know, thinking all those other words, all those funny things I used to do, you know, my wife's out back, you know, neutering our hogs and all that stuff. I'd make up this list of things to tell people. Don't tell them that. Share the gospel with them. One of them still thinks that texts me regularly that I am Pam Stovall's son-in-law. And they just wouldn't keep so I started giving them messages. I started out kind of on lark, telling them they were going to hell without Jesus. And then I softened it up with the love of God and said, man, you need Jesus. You need to quit fooling with all this tech stuff you do. You need Jesus today. I'm serious about that. Share Jesus with them. Has God spoken to you today? He touched a little tender spot somewhere. Don't let it ride. Do something about it. Okay? Now, we want to get the cards from you.
filled out one of those cards. Y'all know we pray over those cards, right? We just throw them out. We pray over everything you put on those cards. Put it in there. Basket's up here. But also, if you have an offering to bring, you need to bring it today, which is brings me to the final thing I want to share with you today. We're going to make some changes to the office out in Georgetown. One of the things we need is some more storage. We need to do flooring throughout the whole place. We need to paint it. We got a lot of things to do. We're going to add on about a 12 by 16 area on the back of the office there and close it. We need about 20 grand to do that. So we're asking you. We're asking you to give. And don't go back and say, oh yeah, yeah, you're always asking us for money. That's a lie. And you know it's a lie. You hardly ever hear that here. Need 20 grand. So, whatever God puts on your heart about that. Just, you can write a check. Also, a week from Tuesday, Audrey is going to have surgery. I think most of you know by now she has breast cancer. And it's stage 1A. And it's not in the duct. So we're counting on you to pray for her healing. If by October 29th, God has not removed that from her body completely, then we're going to have surgery on that day and she's going to have a double mastectomy. And we appreciate your prayers in that. And don't be afraid to talk to her about it. You know, I know she's a real private person. I'm not. But she will talk to you about it, okay? Because it would be more of a thing, you know, avoiding her, like she's damaged in some way. All right? I think that's all I got to say today. Can't think of anything else except about six more sermons. But I want to send you out now, okay? You ready? David, are you ready to be sent out? That David right there. You ready? How about Donnie? You ready to be sent out? Jay? You ready to be sent out? Hi, Chief? How about it? Teresa? Deb? Steph? Hello, Steph? How about you, Lex? All right. Y'all afraid about the next thing I'm going to say, aren't you? You ought to be. All right. Thank you, Will. Come on up here and stand with me, Will. He just says he's excited. I'm excited too. Let's pray together, okay? Now, Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in our lives. All the things we have seen you do. How you're speaking to us today. We love you, Jesus. We pray now you'll send us out in the power of the Holy Spirit with the love of Christ our Savior under the authority of you, our Father, in your matchless name, your covenant name, Yahweh, we pray.